20th of March 2018. It is the fourth day of Nisan, Tavshinai and Ches. We're up to Halacha Day of Perek Tezayin, the beginning of Achrimos, which really deals with the Avodas Hayom HaKippurim. And I was sitting back, scratching my head, thinking to myself, what would Bruce want to hear about on Halacha Day of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim? So there are many technical things within the Halachos of the Avoda, which would have taken me about a week to prepare. So instead, I took a step back and said, hey, what's the deal with that rope on the Kohen Gadol? We've all heard this idea that the Kohen Gadol, when he would go, you know, Len, take the glasses.
My eyes are very sensitive.
Okay. All right, that's fine. So, what's the deal with? So, we've heard this idea that a Kohen Gadol, when he would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom HaKippurim, they would tie a rope around him, lest he get killed, and they would have to yank him out. Okay, we all heard that tale.
Yes.
Myth or fact?
Fact,
says Bruce. Any other?
Fact.
Okay. So we will not be able to say whether truly it is a myth or a fact, but I will tell you this. It does not appear in the entire Masech Gemara Bavli, nor does it appear in the Talmud Yerushalmi, nor does it appear in any of the Apocrypha or Josephus, all written about that period. Nor does it appear in the Rambam, in his recordings of the Halachos. The only place that it may appear, we'll see why may towards the end of this year, is there is a statement in the Zohar, that the Zohar does seem to allude to a Kohen Gadol having a rope or chain, actually a golden chain, wrapped around him as he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, so that is where we are in terms of the sources. But let's get into the issue. What exactly is the issue with regards to why would such a belief, or why would there be actually a need or some suggestion for this idea? So we already know, not from this parsha, but a couple parshias ago, that it seems that Nadav and Avihu went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim when they weren't supposed to, bringing guitars that they weren't supposed to, and they were subsequently killed. Not subsequently, they were immediately killed. They were immediately killed on the spot. So, and we have as well in this week, in this parak that we read, so they're also that don't go in any other time except for on Yom HaKippurim. There are some exceptions to that rule, but unless it's Yom Kippur, you shouldn't go in. If you do go in, what is the punishment? Most Yumas, that the person will be killed. Now, I pointed out as we read it the first time, that most Yumas in the Torah doesn't generally mean that a fire from heaven is going to come down and strike you. What does most Yumas generally mean? It usually is referring to Misa B'nei Shemayim, that there's some sort of heavenly death that will come upon you, not immediately. At some point in the future, one will die as a result of this punishment. But okay, so there is this idea out there that some type of death penalty would await somebody who goes into Kodesh HaKadoshim when they're not supposed to. Now, why would a Kohen Gadol, however, on Yom Kippur? That's when he is supposed to. So why would there be any problem such that he might get killed? So there are a couple of allusions that one sees over the course of Maseches Yuma to this idea that all was not right with regards to the Kohen Gadolship over the course of the second base of Mikdash. So one indication comes from the Mishnah. Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis. By the way, I just want to say the source for these good article on the topic, which I was able to use sources to develop this year from, is there is a Tzarech Iyun in an Orthodox Union magazine, or at least on the Orthodox Union website, from Dr. Avi Zavatovsky, who is very into myth-busting and things like that. He'll kind of take these things out there and try to figure out whether they were true or not true. So he has an article on this topic. So the story perhaps starts, really starts in two different places over the course of Maseches Yuma, but in a Mishnah, and Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, so the Mishnah tells us that that he would go in between the two, and once he would get between the two poles, Tzavar Sa Ketores Al Gabi Agacham Nismal Kol Bayis Kulo Ashein, that he would put the Ketores on top of the coals, and the entire room would fill with smoke. So Yatza Uvalo B'derech Beis Knisasa, so then he would leave the way that he came in. And he would daven a short tefillah in the outer room, right? Not in the Kodesh HaKadosh, but it sounds like in the Heichal, in the Kodesh itself. And he wouldn't daven too long, lest he scare the Jews. lest he scare the Jews. So what would they be so scared about? So the Rambam in his Perush HaMishnah says that, well, they were concerned that the Kohen got killed, right? That he messed up the Avodah and got killed there. So the Rambam immediately alluding to this idea that there seemed to be a pretty high mortality rate for being a Kohen Gadol, and therefore they would have to be, therefore they wouldn't daven too long, lest people get antsy and worry about what happened to the Kohen Gadol. The Rashash, actually, on this sugya, the Rashash is one of the commentaries that appear in the back of the Gemara. He was actually, I believe he was like a banker. He was not a Rav, he was a banker, wrote a commentary on the Gemara, and his commentary appears in the standard edition of the Vilna Shas. So the Rashash comments that why would he have to die there? It doesn't necessarily mean that. Where did I see that? Rashash may be lashon raki harbi kohen gadol hayumesim b'kodesh hakadoshim v'tema al kach. He asks sheyamos b'kodesh hakadoshim shemakom hakadosh b'yoser lo mistaber sheyira tumas meis shechamura. Right, that doesn't seem to make sense that a place of such kedusha would cause death. So he just raises that issue. I'm not sure he resolves it, but he has to figure out something else that the nation would be nervous about. Maybe just simply that they were nervous that he didn't do the avoda right, or he messed up with the avoda, something. He spilled the ketores and had to get new ones or something. That's what they were nervous about, not necessarily that the Kohen Gadol will die. But anyways, he raises that question that I raised. But anyways, the common assumption of what the Rambam is alluding to is that he died. He died as a result of being in the Kodesh HaKadosh. But in fact, the Gemara relates one daf later that one time the Kohen Gadol did stay in a little bit too long. He took his time, and after he came out, they
he saw a golden.
Weird. There you go. Tarama, Maisa Bekoin Gadol Echa Shaharich Bitfila. So he did daven too long. Vinimnu. And they chose a kohen to go in to find out what's going on. So he on his way in, the kohen gadol was already on his way out. Okay. So Amru Lo, they said to him, if they maharach the betfilascha, why did you take so long with your tefila? So Amru Lo, he responded, kashbe nechem shehis palalti aleichem the albeis hamigdash lo yecharav. What? It's so difficult to you for you to understand that I'm davening on your behalf and for the beis hamigdash that it won't get destroyed. So Amrullah, they said to him, yeah, alti ragilasos king, don't do it again. Shereshaninu loa yamarach b'tfilaso g'day shelo lahavir es Yisrael. Because we learned in the Mishnah wasn't written yet, this is still during the Beis HaMikdash, but we have an idea that you shouldn't daven unless the people get scared. Fine, and he adds it, right? Lest he be concerned that he would die. So there is just one little side question that I saw here, is that where was the tefillah offered? I mean, how did the Mishnah get read? The Mishnah was read as, he left the Kodesh HaKadoshim and said a tefillah where? Outside, in the Heichal. So the Tiferes Yisrael, which is one of the commentaries on the Mishnah, a very interesting character from the 1800s, so the Tiferes Yisrael asks, why did he not daven in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? That seems like a better place to daven, right? Why leave? You could daven in the spot. So what's his answer? So there are two answers to this question that are quoted here in the back of the Masifta Gemara. So number one, he says, well, because the Kodesh HaKadoshim is such a place of ruchnius, it's not appropriate to daven there for Gashmias. You know, it's such a spiritual place, you can't daven for, it's not appropriate to daven for physicality. I'll perhaps alter that a little bit and say that what are you going to say in the Kodesh HaKadosh, right? It's a place that is beyond words. You can't formulate your thoughts into words. Therefore, you have to remove yourself from the Kedusha a little bit in order to offer appropriate tefillah, something along those lines. The second idea is from the Chazon Yecheskel. The Chazon Yecheskel was written by, anyone know? Chazon Yecheskel was written by Rav Yecheskel Abramsky. Heard that name? He lived in the last century. He passed away, I forget when exactly. He was a Rav in England and made his way to Eretz Yisrael, but along the way was learned in Europe as well. Quasi-related to me, actually. But anyways, the famous story about him is that he once had to testify in an English court And they asked him as an expert witness, so they introduced him as Rabbi Abramsky. Is it not true that you are the greatest scholar of Jewish law in the entire England? To which he said, it's true. The judge said, aren't you supposed to be humbled? Which said, I would be, but I'm under oath. So the Chazon Yecheskel says, Kasav lo chiyach mizeh shelo hispal ha-kohen gadol b'kodesh ha-kodesh. The reason why he didn't have it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, she'aso lishos lifnei v'lifnim achar kalos havod de'shechashim shayim rikadosh. If there's a technical reason you can't, because at that point the avodah is finished, right? Your job is to go in there and do what you're supposed to do. If you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you can't be there anymore. So as soon as the room fills with smoke, he can't stay in daven. He needs to leave. Right? So either a technical reason or perhaps a tefillah reason as to why he davened outside as opposed to inside.
Because he's davening and wants the congregation to hear.
He's davening and wants to... No, they didn't hear him, it sounds like. He was still in the heichal. Yeah, no, it wasn't. And there's actually a din that they weren't allowed even in the heichal. No other kohen is allowed even in the building itself while it's going on. So it was a private, certainly a private tefillah. Okay, so anyways, so there is another Gemara that discusses this as well. So that's one thing that the Gemara seems to be alluding to, the idea that the Kohen Gadol might have died, that the Rambam at least interprets it that way. But there's a more explicit Gemara that not all was, things were rotten in the Kohen community during that era. So the Gemara tells on Daf Chesam and Bezim Sechas Yuma, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda V'chin Lishkas, that they would take him to the Lishkas Parhedrin. That's what the Mishnah says. That's where he hung out for the week. So there's a Bryce's Rabbi Yehuda asked, it was called the Lishkas Parhedrin. Parhedrin is those that are appointed. Lishkas Balvatai Haisa. It was originally known as the Chamber of Balvatai. Balvatai is translated here as the aristocrats. So it used to be called that. Why is it called the Parhedrin? So El Batchila Hayukormos Lishkas Balvatai. They used to call it the Lishkas Balvatai when the Kohen Gadolim were honorable men. However, once they started paying for the Kahuna, and they started changing it, they remodeled that chamber every 12 months. Why did they remodel every 12 months? Because there was a new resident every 12 months. So, Kippar Hedron Halal Shemachlifin Usakol Shnei Masar Chodesh. In this matter, it's called like an appointee of the king who were replaced every 12 months. Lefichah Hayukorin Usal Lishkas Parhedron. Therefore, it was called the Lishka of the Parhedron. The Gemara has a little bit of a discussion about Meiser, and then comes back and says, by the way, what were these Parhedron? Purse. Superintendents. And then there's one more comment that the Gemara makes. I'm a Rabbi Bar Hanan, Rabbi Yochanan. My Dixiv, what does the Pasuk mean when it tells us in Mishlei, Yiras Hashem Tosif Yamu Mishnos Rashim Tiktsorna, that the fear of Hashem will increase days, but the years of wicked will be shortened. So Yiras Hashem Tosif Yamim, that the fear of Hashem will increase days, Zeh Mikdash Rishon. That's a reference to the Mikdash Rishon. She'amar Arba Meos Ve'eser Shanim, that it stood for 410 years. Velo Shim Shubo Ela Shmona Asar Kohanim Gedolim. And there were only 18 Kohanim Gedolim during that entire time. Right? So if you were a Kohen Gadol, you had a pretty good run. He had a pretty good run. Rabbi Meir Salvechik, who's the rabbi of Sheirith Israel in the Spanish and Portuguese synagogue, I think pointed out that the entire history of the Spanish and Portuguese synagogue has had something like 13 rabbis or something like that. So and there are only 18 Kohen Gadolim the entire time. Then it was Shnos Rishayim Tiktsorena. The years of the wicked will be shortened. Zeh Mikdash Sheni. This is a reference to the second base of Mikdash. She'amar Arba Meos Ve'esrim Shan, stood for 420 years. V'shimshu Bo Yoser Mishalosh Meos Kohanim. And there were over 300 Kohanim Gadolim who served during the 420 years of the second base of Mikdash. And not only that, but take out Semihem Arbaim Shan Shim Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik served for 40 years. Ushmonim Shishim 80 were by Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Eser Shimesh Yisrael ben Pachi. There were 10 years of this Yishmael ben Pabi. And Amri La Achas Esrei Shishimesh Rebbe Eliyaz ben Charson. And 11 years of Rebbe Eliyaz ben Charson. I didn't do the math, but what 80, 40, 11, and 10 gets you to 131. So leaves you Mikan Ve'elach Tzeva Chashuv Kol Echad Ve'echad Lahotzi Shasa. That none of the other ones lived out a year in office.
Were they the Sadducees?
Yes. Yes, the Tzedukim played a major role here. As we're going to see, Yes, as I'll see in a moment. So there was this assumption, it seems like, this idea that the Kohen Gadol did die every Yom Kippur, so there certainly is a basis for that. In fact, there's one other Gemara, the Gemara you were asked about the Tzdukim, so there's another Gemara that appears on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis in Maseches Yuma. What does it say over there? Satan Rabbanu Maisim Tzduki Echad Shehiskin. Well, what's this talking about, by the way? So this is talking about in the Mishnah in the beginning of Maseches Yuma, so it says that they would make the Kohen Gadol swear the night before Yom Kippur that he would observe the Torah, and he wouldn't be a Sadducee about it, right? He wouldn't be a Tzuki about it. So he makes a comment, Maisa b'tzduki echad. Once happened, hiskimi b'chutz v'hichnis, that with one Tzuki who prepared the incense outside and brought it in. What's going on there? So apparently this was like a Tzuki thing to do. This was the big argument on Yom Kippur. That I got to look at the Pesukim again. I didn't work it through. But the we understand that the Ketores is brought in and put on the coals in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Apparently the Tzukim felt that it was done outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and then brought in. Right? That's a big difference. Right? So apparently Tzdukim would do it outside. And to keep in mind that nobody's around. When the Kohen Gadol is going into the Kodesh HaKadosh, nobody's allowed to be in the Heichas, so nobody would be there to see it. So anyway, so B'tzieso, so when he left, Hayasameya Simcha Gdol, when he left, he was very happy. Why was he so happy? Pagabo Aviv Amrlo, so his father came and said to him, Bini Afapi should stukin anu, Misjaran anu mina Perushim. He says, even though we're Tzdukim, we should still be nervous about the Perushim. We should be nervous about the Pharisees. So Amrlo, he says, well, Kol Yamai Haini Misar al Mikra Zah. I've always been wondering about this pasuk, Ki banan ira el akaporis. For with a cloud will I see the ark cover. Meaning, I guess the cloud has to exist before I come in. Amarti Masai Yavu Lidi Vakianu. How will I be able to fulfill my understanding of the pasuk? So Akshar Shabbo Liyade Loaki Menu, now that I have a chance to do it, I shouldn't go ahead and do it. So Amru, they said, Lo ayu yamim mu'atim ad shemes v'huta ba'ashma. It was only a few days until he died, and it was thrown in the trash heap. And there were worms that were crawling out of his nose. Some say that he didn't die a few days later, as the Rashash would have you believe. Rather, on his way out, he was killed right away. The Sani Rabbi Chia taught kol nishma bazar that there was some sort of sound that they heard in the Azara that an angel had come and punched him in the face. V'nichtasu echav hakohanim, the kohanim came in, umatzu b'chaf regel egel ben k'teifav, they found that there was the sole of a rounded foot between his shoulders, which was indicated that it was done by an angel. Shnemar v'aglicham regel yishar v'kaf rogecham b'kaf regel egel, as there's a description of the angels, that's the shape of their... How are they allowed to go in?
You said nobody's allowed to go
Well, once they hear him dead.
Oh, so they weren't allowed to go in.
Well, once he died.
I know, once he died.
Right. So beyond that, once he died, then for sure you're allowed to go in. Very last Gemara in Maseches Eruvin and Daf Kufei.
Pull him out with the string.
Hold on. We haven't got that. The point is, I haven't said string yet.
Oh, okay.
Right? There is the Gemara at the very end of Maseches Eruvin that discusses that people are allowed to go in to the Kodesh and even to the Kodesh HaKadoshim either to clean it or to take Tuma out of it. But that is permissible and it goes there. There's a hierarchy. In theory, it should be a Kohen. If there's no Kohen available, you should have a Levi. And if no Levi available, you could even have a Yisrael go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in order to take out things that needed to be taken out. So we actually read about this when we learned in our studies of Vayikra. Because after Nadav and Avihu died, what did they do? So they sent in the cousins. They didn't send in the brothers, they only sent in the cousins. Those cousins are not Kohanim, right? So the brothers weren't fit to go in. They were in Aninus. Rather, you got to send in the cousins because the Kohen weren't available. You had to send in the Levium. Okay, so anyways, so we have shown that there was some kind of issue, at least it was a pretty good read that you can have of the Gemara, that there was some sort of issue of the Kohanim Gedolim dying right away, and happening even on a yearly basis. So
They would bid, right?
That was indicated in the Gemara as well. They would bid for who would be able to do it.
They knew they were going to die quickly.
Here in the Maseches, I forgot where I saw it. So one answer is just, well, they're Bali Gai, but they'll be able to do it. Right.
You can see one or two of them.
Yes, so in the Masifta Gemara, it actually quotes somebody that says that it wasn't that one guy bid on it for himself. It was that the Tzdukim as a community bid on it, won it, and appointed a guy. Now, that guy's got to be crazy, though, right? So the answer is no. That guy, he's dying al Kiddush Hashem. That was what he felt. He said, "I'm the messenger. I'll die for the sake of this."
He was a good guy.
Well, no, he was a stooky. That was his. That you asked how he
rationalized.
How he rationalized it. That was the way to rationalize it.
In the second temple, not during the.
Yes, that was the point. Right, it's all during the second base of Mikdash, not during the first base of Mikdash.
It's interesting that you mentioned it. That's why whenever you look at the Christian gospel, they always refer to the Pharisees, which is a total lie. The people that were the priests were the Sadducees. Because throughout the gospel, they criticized the Pharisees, that they
were
responsible. That's one of the clear lies, that they were not the Pharisees.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've ever read any books about that.
I hear the issue. I'm not... okay. I don't have anything to comment on. Okay. All right, so anyways, so have we actually, of the things that we've learned so far, have we seen any... So where does this idea of the robe come from? So there is one statement in the Zohar. The Zohar tells us, the Zohar is assigned by page number. That's how you find things, similar to a Gemara, but it's like some printing at some point did it according to one page number. That's how it's labeled, even though later editions that have commentaries and stuff don't go according to that page number. Right, so there is a statement in the Zohar. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. This is in Parshas Emor, Tfus... Daf Kuf Beis I'm Amud Aleph. Okay. So anyway, so Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kafpatra Chad Kashira Berugle Dekana B'Shaisa Dahava Ayil. That there was a Kapatra. What is a Kapatra? So Kapatra, I believe. Where is it? Oh, Rabbi Yisa Kapatra is his name. So Chad. Actually, all it says here is that shalshelas achas. A chain that was tied onto his feet as of the kohen. B'shaisa d'hava'al, when he would go into the kodesh hakadoshim, d'yamus hasam, for if he would die there, yafkohu milvar, they would be able to pull him out. That's all he says. That's one line that we have there within Chazal. But other than that, right, the Gemara doesn't have it, the Rambam doesn't have it, nobody seems to have this idea of tying the thing. So maybe it's developed from that one line. Now, is there any indication that they wouldn't have done it? So we've actually had a few indications already in our learning that they wouldn't have done it. What indications have we had that we wouldn't have done it? So what were the stories that we've had? Number one was the Kohen Gadol who stayed in too long. Right, and they complain to him and says, "We thought you died in there. You shouldn't have davened for too long." So, is there any indication there about? So, if he was wearing a rope, they would know he didn't die.
Well, because it was moving.
Right, that should indicate that he didn't die. Another issue would be from this Stuki here. Right, this Stuki who they hear this thump, right, and they rush in to see what happened. Well, they would know already what happened. Right, if he was pulled, or they could just pull the rope to see what happened. Now, the truth is that I realize is not such a great proof because that is because what is that brisa going on? It's going on the story where they would make the Kohen Gadol swear. Why did they make the Kohen Gadol swear? Because one time it happened that a Stuki was able to pull off his Stuki Avoda, right? So they quickly point out here. It says that was before they made him swear. Right, the Tosefta points it. It quotes here a footnote here that is the incident that resulted in them doing the shvuah. So just as the incident happened that resulted in doing the shvuah, it could be that the incident happened and resulted in them tying up a thing. Right, so that also is not necessarily the greatest proof. Was that might have been early on in the period of the second base of Mikdash. But there are some halachic reasons why you wouldn't be able to put the chain on. Right, number one. Is that there is an iser called Tosefes Begadim. You're not allowed to add garments onto the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol only has specific garments he's allowed to wear. Beyond that, you're not allowed to wear any more. Now, wearing a chain, would that qualify as more? So there's conflicting things. Rabbi Zivotofsky points out there's conflicting statements in the Rambam about that. It could be that it just means an extra garment, and a chain attached to his leg wouldn't necessarily qualify as a garment. But there are, Rashi seems to say that it is a... that seems to say that it is anything that's added on. In fact, there is a legend that is told about the Chafetz Chaim. Right? There's in the famous picture of the Chafetz Chaim, he's not wearing glasses. Why is he not wearing glasses? So the legend has it that the Chafetz Chaim refused to wear glasses because he said it could happen the Mashiach's going to come and I'm going to be the Kohen Gadol. Right? Could happen. So therefore, I'm going to at least be a Kohen. I'll be able to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And glasses would disqualify me from doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, supposed to be considered an extra beged. Right? So whether that's a...
Are you talking about the video or the picture?
the picture.
There's a video of the Chofetz Chaim.
There is a small video, yes. But he's not wearing glasses. What is true is that he didn't wear glasses. That's the reason he didn't wear glasses. Look, he could have also had LASIK. You don't know.
That's sort of like a legend.
That is the legend. The legend of the Chofetz Chaim is that he didn't do it. That is true. What? You don't buy it. Okay. It could be he just had good vision.
He was so humble.
No, but he would still be a Kohen, though.
A Kohen, yeah. Kohen.
Right, so forget it. So I don't know why I said Kohen Gadol, but even a Kohen. A Kohen would have the opportunity to do the Avodah. He didn't want to jeopardize that. No, but any, it's always a problem for a Kohen to wear more clothing. For any Kohen is not allowed to wear extra garments. That's a rule for any Kohanim. Beyond that is another problem that that would exist with this, and that is the issue of chatzitza. That beyond whether it's considered extra garment or not, it also would be a problem of chatzitza. It would also be a problem of a separation between the garment and the and the body of the Kohen Gadol. Another idea would be that maybe there would be an issue of it being gold. I mean, the whole purpose is that the Kohen would take off all gold garments and only wear white garments. So it would be strike one as a little odd to wear a gold chain.
I always heard that it was a rope, not a chain.
Right, so the Zohar statement seems to allude to some kind of chain, to some kind of chain, not just a rope, but it could be a rope. A rope would alleviate that problem. So anyway, and then he adds in, Rabbi Zivotofsky adds in one more line, that he quotes in the name of Rabbi Uri Shirky, who is the Rav of Kiryat Moshe in Israel, and he suggests that maybe the pshat in the Zohar, we don't generally claim historical evidence from the Zohar, so what could the Zohar be meaning from the idea that he was wearing wearing some kind of rope around his leg in order to get in? So it could be that it's really an esoteric teaching, that they tied a rope around him, that when you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, don't get so high and holy that you forget about us measly people. Right, don't go up there and die, so to speak, and be cut off from us. Remember us. Remember us. That was the meaning of the rope. Now, it wasn't really a rope. It was the muster that they gave him. Go in there, but go in there on our behalf, as opposed to going in there and getting so sucked into the highest and holiness, etc. So even the statement in the Zohar might not really be referring to a historical fact. It might be referring to an esoteric fact. So anyway, so Rabbi Zivotofsky thinks that such a thing is a myth that he was wearing a rope, but certainly the issues that would bring it about seem certain that the Kohen Gadols were not such were not so always on the up and up, and also that they were dying regularly. That idea certainly has its foundations within the Torah Shabbat.
Why were they dying? Because they weren't they married being the Kohen Gadol,
or they were doing the avodah wrong, or they I think one of those two. Or both.
Don't you have to, so they didn't follow the they were a part of Aaron. They were still Kohens?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
They just weren't